Happy Halloween, and welcome to a special edition of Haunted as Hell. I've been saving this particular episode because I loved it so much when I recorded it, and I really wanted to put it out on Halloween, so please enjoy this bonus episode, our special Halloween episode of Haunted as Hell, and I will see you again tomorrow for the regular Wednesday episode. Have a great holiday! Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Florida comedian Hanson Sinclair. Hanson, thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I'm ready to talk about your ghost stories, of which you have many. So I'm so excited to hear them.
Alrighty. So the first one is my personal experience. So I'm actually Jamaican. All right. My family moved over here in the 90s. Before we moved over here, first of all, I was born in the Bahamas, but I would visit Jamaica every summer. So, you know, in Jamaica, there's a lot of folklore about ghosts. We call them duppy, you know. We would go from this.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does duppy mean?
Duppy, D-U-P-P-Y, that just means ghost. Yeah, okay. That's how we say it in Jamaica. Yeah, that's how we say it in Patois. So I would visit Jamaica every summer with my family. You know, we still had our grandmother and cousins over there. So every year we'd go from the city to the country. And in the country, there are no streetlights. Most houses in the country don't have electricity. A lot of them don't, or they literally have like one light bulb in the middle of the house. There's no television. You'd be lucky if you get a radio. So basically, you just sat on the porch. When it got dark, you just go inside and talk or go to sleep or, you know, sit on your porch, but it's pitch black. So one night we're coming from the country and we're traveling through this this passage called Fern Gully. Not the movie, but an actual Fern Gully. So it's about six of us in one car. And in Jamaica, there really isn't any law about like seat belts or anything. Like, you know, you just pile into a car however many can fit.
Yeah.
So there were two in the front seat, driver, passenger, and about four or five in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting on someone's lap. I can't remember whose lap. I'm small. I'm like probably seven or eight. So it's foggy and whatnot. It's dark and we've been traveling all day, getting from the country to go back to the city. And the driver decides, oh, let's just pull on the side of the road and take a nap on this dark, fern gully, no light, whatever. So it's foggy, whatever. So, you know, everyone falls asleep. I'm kind of in and out of sleep or whatever. But then I open my eyes and I see this guy in white coming towards us. And I was like, oh, that's strange. Somebody just walking on this road late at night in the dark, foggy, you know, mist of Jamaica. I'm like, all right, whatever. I didn't think too much of it. So he kind of walked towards the car. And as soon as he got close to the car, he just vaporized.
Whoa.
And I was like, all right, we're just going to go to sleep and pretend that that didn't happen. And so, you know, I'm petrified at this time. So I try to close my eyes to go to sleep and I just felt like something. So I'm just like waking up the driver like, hey, let's go. You know, and the driver, of course, is angry because he's been driving all day. He's like, yo, the blood clot you want. I'm like, hey, man, can we please go back to where there's lights and electricity? Because this doesn't seem fun right now. And he wakes up. And we start driving, and I don't know if it was just me, but I saw the same guy four different times on the side of the road. And I'm looking, and nobody else sees it.
Nobody else acknowledged it? They didn't see
Nobody else saw him. Because I'm like, all right, he's there. And then like a couple of miles later, he's there. And then like a couple of miles later, he's there. And I'm like, you know,
maybe it looked like,
huh?
What did he look like?
That's the thing. All I saw was were his clothes. Like no head, no hands, nothing.
Like you couldn't
Just
sneak
his.
it out in the darkness.
I don't think he had a head or hands. It was just a figure walking.
Oh my God, like
And
with
then he was just,
just
oh
covered.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holy.
So from that point on, I hate being alone in the dark.
Yeah. How could you
Yeah.
not? How could you not?
Yeah.
And no one that you were with had the same experience. Now, you said you felt something after the first time that you saw him. You felt
Yeah.
like compelled to wake up the driver. What did you feel? Was it like, was it fear or was it like sinister, something
So
sinister or?
it wasn't even fair. It was so in Jamaica it's hot. Like you think Florida's hot? It's hot in Jamaica, all right? And I mean it had to have been like probably 90 degrees at night. And I just got cold. I just felt I got seriously cold. And I was like, all right, I'm trying to look for something to cover up with. And as soon as I got as quickly as I got cold, I warmed back up again. So I don't know if it was like chills running down my body or what it was. Again, I'm like 7 or 8, so I don't really n did not process all that. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, nobody saw the guy. I've never told anyone in my family.
Because you didn't want to be not believed.
Yeah, they would just look at me like,
Crazy.
and that's the thing. I probably should have told them because the other stories I'm going to tell you have to do with family members who have experienced, spirits and stuff like that. So I probably could have told them, and they would have been like, "Oh yeah, that just happened." Maybe it happens frequently. I don't know.
What do you think this guy was?
I don't know. There's so many, folklore in Jamaica about people who have died. There's actually a mansion, and there's a book, the White Witch of Rose Hall or something like that. And it's about a lady, about a witch, who died in a fire in a mansion. And people say to this day, when they drive by, they still see her walking like through the windows.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a
Oh,
lot of stuff.
I've found
I
the
think
book.
it's, yeah, the is it the White Witch of Rose Hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, the White Witch of Rose Hall. Yeah. I had the book, never read it.
I
Never read it. Not
love
gonna
the
do that.
honesty.
Yeah, not gonna do that. But yeah, you can people say that they visit and they actually see her walking down the hallways.
Oh wow. Yeah, story of haunting in Jamaica. I have her female plantation owner of the most
Yes.
vicious sort. Anna
Yep.
Palmer. Wow. Oh man, cool. I mean, not cool that she's an evil lady, but like wow. So much on the internet about her.
And it's crazy because on pretty much, I don't want to say every island or Caribbean island, but there are so many stories about people interacting with spirits and ghosts on the islands. I mean, like I said, I lived in the Bahamas. I have an experience. I think I have an experience there. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I mean, like family members of mine, my godmother. This is the second story. So, so my godmother, when she was younger, so in Jamaica, it's not uncommon for, let's just say, you have a child or you have like 4 or 5 kids, for you to send one or two of your kids to live with someone else. They don't even have to be family members. You know what I mean? They can be like friends of the family, or they could honestly be someone you met or someone know someone, and so
Why is that very common?
I don't know how common it is now, but back then, I mean, let's just say they have resources that you don't have, whether it's education or whether they have enough room in their house.
Got it.
So my godmother, she was sent to live with this lady who was a school marm. She taught at a schoolhouse and whatnot. The school happened to be on a cemetery, and that's common again. We're talking like the early, we're talking like the 1950s or something like that.
Okay.
So it's not like where people have full funerals nowadays. Sometimes people get buried on their own property. Whole generations get buried on their own property. So she lived with this lady, and the school was on the property. And so every night she would go to bed, and every morning when the lady woke up, my godmother would be down by the river under a tree. And this happened for a while, if not every night, if not every night, every other night, or quite often. So the lady asked her, like, why do you always leave your room? Why do you always leave the house? And she said, oh, I just follow the man that comes and gets me.
Whoa. Wait, how old was your godmother at this time?
She was like a kid, like probably like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah. So every night this man would just come to her and take her by the hand and just take her down to this tree by the river. And yeah, and so she was asked to describe the man, and she couldn't see his face because he had a hat on, but she described his hands or whatever. And I think the lady said, oh, that's so and so from this era or whatever. So it was actually the spirit of someone who either owned the property or died on the property or something. And he wasn't vicious. He just, liked kids and liked protecting kids. And, he just liked playing with kids, not in a creepy way, but he just liked kids. You know what I mean? So, and he always sat by that tree, under that tree by the river.
Oh,
So
when he was
apparently,
alive?
yeah. So
That's so.
apparently, he took a liking to my godmother because I think, if I remember correctly, she reminded him of his daughter that died.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So when she told us that, and I'll be honest, my godmother, I think I get part of my sense of humor from her. Because she is a little bit, I don't want to say crazy, but
Kooky?
she, yeah, eccentric.
Okay.
She's extremely eccentric. Smart lady, school teacher, very intelligent, just she probably should have gone into comedy because she's just so eccentric. You know what I mean? But yeah, so she used to wake up every morning, and she never thought it was weird. She would just walk back up to the house.
How long
She
did this
felt safe.
last?
I'd say a few years.
Wow. Did
I'd
it
say a few years.
was it until she left, or was it he just eventually stop? Do you know?
I think he eventually stopped. I think, like, as she grew older and older, she didn't look as much, or it may be that he stopped at the age that his daughter died. I'm not sure, not 100% sure,
Or
but
like, and this is, my TikTok PhD here.
yeah.
But like, I feel like on TikTok they always say it's the really young kids that can connect, and then the older
Yes.
you get, the less connected you are. So maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, exactly. For some reason, spirits and animals and babies, like they can, tell the truth, especially with kids. They can tell the true nature of a kid and whatnot, and they and kids are more intuitive. So, but yeah, so that happened, and I was like, oh, okay. I still didn't tell her about the story that I had.
That you had. Love that story though. It's beautiful. I've collected so many stories of kind ghosts, and it makes me less afraid. Still very afraid, but a little less.
Okay. All right. So wait, so I'm assuming you've had encounters with spirits.
Not really, only just a little bit. Yeah, I've had two very brief, well, one very, very brief, and then one, I think I bulk years ago, I think I bulk recorded too many episodes, and my husband and I kind of invited something in, and this is before COVID, so I was having everyone come to my apartment in Brooklyn to record. And I think we just attracted some weird energy because some weird stuff started happening, and then we saged and got rid of it. So those are, yeah. So my experience is limited. I'm just very interested.
Now the one in the Bahamas that I'm not sure if I experienced it or but basically, so on a lot of the islands, especially back, I'm gonna date myself here, back in the 80s and that, the government controls, your television, your electricity. Back then we only had one station. Okay. So it's just one station and whatever they played on that station is what you watch. Now, if you were fortunate enough or had money enough to get a satellite, then you got a satellite, but not like the direct TV. I'm talking about back then when you had like the big satellite on the pole in your yard that whatever channel you shift change it shifted to. I don't know if you remember those. Yeah, one of those huge things. But they would control when the power went out. They would control what when TV came on, whatnot. So one night, so it was me, my mom, and my two sisters that lived in an apartment. My dad worked on a cruise ship, so he would come and visit, twice a week for a couple hours or whatever. So one night, my mom was dropping him to work. And back then, you could leave your kids alone, whatever. I was like 5, and my sister was like 6, and my little sister was probably like 1 year old. But so my mom drove to take my dad back to the dock. And then like probably 20 minutes later, while she's gone, we just hear like a big, like we hear like a plane crashing. And then we just heard like a big boom, like a plane crashed or whatever. And
Like very close
then,
to you.
well, it's a small island, so yeah, it was,
Yeah, everything's very close.
Like nasty. Yeah, it's only like 27 square miles, so but like pretty much the whole island heard it. And so those who live closer to it, they said they just saw like a big fireball, So when they went to go check out what it was, nothing was there. But they said they saw like a pilot walking in the bushes away from probably where a crash should have occurred. And he just walked through the bushes and he just disappeared.
Whoa, so an entire island of people experience the same ghost thing? That's amazing. Did you ever look this up to like find out if this was an actual crash that had happened or if anyone had ever gotten to the bottom of this?
I mean, that was back in the 80s, so I don't know if that was even recorded or whatever. But what was crazy about it is that like the power, it just like the entire all the power on the island just slowly dimmed, and then it just got dark. And then you just saw like a glowing, and then it was gone.
Oh my gosh. And then did the power go back on after that?
Yeah, I mean, I
Then
guess as soon as the pilot went to wherever he had to go, it just came back on.
So you guys were just really young kids when this was happening and you were home alone. Were you freaking
Hell yeah.
out?
I'm 5, man.
Does your
Like,
sister remember this?
yeah, it's crazy what I can remember,
Oh my Wow, this is so wild. And you're right, like it's the 80s, so it's not like you can just Google it right away, but like now I want to Google it. What's the island?
Nassau, Bahamas. I don't even know if people would have like who would have documented it? Like there weren't any pictures. I don't think anyone. So
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna have to get to the bottom of this. This is an amazing story. I
Yeah.
can't, it's like that's like the biggest group. If everyone, and did your mom, wherever she was at the time, taking your dad to the dock, like did she hear it and experience it too?
You know what? We never really talked about it. I mean, we were supposed to be asleep, so it was like
You're
2 in the morning,
thinking about
so
it. But then, like,
I mean,
was it like the next day when you started corroborating with other people and being like, did you guys hear that?
I was 5, so it's not like I'm gonna go out and be like, "Hey, man, did you know what I mean?"
And how do you know that other people on the island saw it or heard it?
I mean, I heard a couple people. No, well, the neighbors were like, "Hey, did you guys hear or see that?" And da 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 da. But I wasn't gonna jump in because you don't jump into grown folks' business. You know what I mean?
Right. You just
And
listen
so,
intently.
yeah. So I guess word of mouth or whatever. And then, people just dismissed it because it was like, all right, whatever.
It was unexplainable. Oh my
They
gosh.
just, yeah, it was, yeah. This
So
next one.
oh, go ahead.
No, this next one. This one is like, and you can even ask my cousin. She actually told us about this one. So, I've had a few open heart surgeries. I have a heart condition, and my grandfather died, I think, the day that I had my one of my life-saving surgeries.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if you believe in a circle of life, a life for a life, you know what I mean? So that's how my mom looks at it. She said, yeah, the same day of his funeral was the day you had your surgery. So I was like, God damn, I feel kind of guilty. And I didn't know that until like a few weeks ago.
You're
But
like, I didn't mean to kill Grandpa,
I
you
know, right? Like, damn, like, shoot. Like, I hope, like, what's he gonna say when I get up to heaven and he sees me, like, yeah, man, because of you, bruh. Like, I got a bone to pick with you, dog. Like, so in Jamaica, my mom bought her mom a house, my grandmother. So my grandmother lived there with two or three of my cousins, three of them. Like they would go back and forth, but one cousin lived there, mainly because, she lived in the city in Jamaica. The other two lived there, but they'd go up to see their mother in the country and, back and forth. So after my grandfather died, my cousin who lived there said she was cleaning the house one day, and she heard like furniture moving on the veranda outside. All right. So she heard like furniture moving. She thought it was her brother, so she's calling her brother's name and no answer. So she went out and she looked, and the furniture was like rearranged. And she's like, probably just thought he was like playing pranks on her or whatever. So she arranged the furniture, goes back inside the cleaning, hears the noise again, comes back out, furniture's moved again. And so she's getting mad. She's like, hey, da, 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 whatever. You know what I mean? So then she goes back in again. She hears the furniture, and then she hears the gate because our house was gated. So she hears the gate to the front porch, and then she hears the gate to the yard open, and she's like, oh well, he's playing around, da 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 da, whatever, So she runs outside, and she realizes she doesn't have the key. So she goes back inside, and then she realizes, well, shoot, we only have one key. So she's like, how did he open the gate? So she opens the gate, and she runs, and she opens the gate to the yard, and she looks down the street, and it's our grandfather. Just walking down the street. Just walking down the street. And so she's like, she calls his name, and he turns around and he waves, and then he turns the corner. And so she's running after him. And she's like, boom, gone. So then it's hitting her like, wait. How could that be him? First of all, how did he get outside the gate? Because the gate was locked. You know what I mean? And they only have one key. So she was like, the rest of the day, she was just like, I guess he came back to say goodbye.
Was how far away from this from his death was this?
This was probably about, I think it was like almost the anniversary.
Okay, so like a year or so.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful now, but creepy back then, man. You see your
Yeah, you
dead
don't leave
grandpa.
home alone when you think there's a ghost.
Yeah.
You're like, is this my family member just trying to say hi, but actually scaring me half to death here?
But you know what? A lot of stories I hear like that, the people aren't afraid. Like, it's not like the ghosts are malicious. It's like, hey, it's almost comforting. You know what I mean? It's almost
Do you
comforting.
believe that your grandfather gave you some of his like life or spirit in that because you had that life-saving surgery on the day that he passed?
Put it this way. The surgery I had, I was the first person in history to survive it.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The doctor that operated on me is the same doctor that operated on Sylvester Stallone's kid.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was the first one. And the guy, so when I went to the hospital, there just happened to be another guy in the Bahamas who was going to have that surgery. I'm about 10 or 11 around this time. This guy is 22 years old. He has a similar heart condition. So all my surgeries were done in Miami. So they had to fly me from the Bahamas to Miami. And so since I didn't know anyone, they put this guy in my room with me since he was from the Bahamas. Him and my mom became friends and everything. He had his surgery the day before me. Okay. So I saw my nurse, I think later on that evening, getting me ready, prepped for surgery the next day. And I said, hey, where's this guy? And the dumbass nurse was like, oh, he died. And I'm just like,
No.
hello, 11, 11 years old, soft serve it, or at
Dude,
least lie to me.
in my 30s, I would be like, nope, I don't want it then. I don't want it. No, thank
Yeah,
you.
no, yeah, no, no, no. It's like the next day when it came time for surgery, I literally just got up out of bed and I started running down the hallways trying to escape. They had to tackle me and they had to like paralyze my legs with injection.
Oh, I'm so
And
sorry.
I was hollering going into that surgery. And so, like I said, I was the first person to survive the, like, my heart condition doesn't even have a name.
Okay.
You know,
That's how rare it
I'm,
is.
yeah, I'm basically a medical celebrity. Like, even now when I go to the hospital, you have interns and residents are like, oh, we studied your case, blah blah blah. But since I was young, they have me as patient X. They're like, we learned about you, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, oh shoot, I'm a pass fail question for your career. Ooh, hope you get this correct, man, because if not, damn,
I love medical celebrity is such a funny term, and I totally get it. That's wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And also congratulations. And I hope
Sure.
that you know that like this is that means that you could like live a very long and healthy life. And I think that
I'm
that's just
hoping
more
too.
evidence that your grandfather was kind of helping out.
Yeah, I would like to think so, man, because hope he didn't die in vain or anything, and he was a healthy man. He wasn't sick or anything, so kind of,
Oh, his
but
passing was
yeah.
very sudden. His passing was really sudden.
I don't know if it was, I mean, he was up there in age, but he was active. You know, he had no health issues, no nothing. I'm the only one in my family with any sort of health issues. The only one through our family tree, even now, the only one with any type of health issues. So he was healthy. I mean, he just, you know, I guess, and honestly, we believe that sometimes when someone gets to a certain age, they're just tired, and they know, like, you know, hey, you know, I'm just like, it's time. Does your podcast also touch on like near-death experiences or?
Yeah, I do anything related to ghost stories. So if you have one and you want to talk about it, that we absolutely can.
Yeah, so I've only told one friend this and never gonna do it again.
Okay,
So
we got it here. Making sure we're still recording. Yeah.
so during one of my surgeries, and I think that was the one or whatnot, like every time I have surgery, the doctors basically tell my mom, hey, yeah, just say goodbye. Like ever since I was born, you
Yeah.
know, they told my mom, yeah, just don't get attached to this one. Like he'll be gone
Oh.
pretty soon. Like literally, you know. So I remember being in the hospital, and I remember being in a coma. When you're in a coma, you know, like you can sense everything going on. Like you can hear everything. You know, you're basically sleeping inside of a shell. You
Okay.
know, you just can't respond, you can't react. You can hear everything that's going on and
That's
whatnot,
really scary.
and
That freaks me out. Is it scary to be in a coma?
it's the most peaceful sleep you'll ever have.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's almost relaxing. You know?
Wow.
So I remember being in a coma, and then, you know, the doctor's not being able to wake me up. And then I remember seeing like a white light. And then I remember like kind of floating, and I'm looking down at everyone. Like I'm floating around the room, looking at everyone. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm looking at myself on the bed. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's what I look like when I'm whatever. I'm just floating around and whatever, you know. And you know, so I think I was in a coma for like a week or two. And so then I hear a voice say, yeah, not yet. You know, and I'm like, huh? You know, like as I'm going towards the light, they're like, yeah, not yet. And I was almost disappointed. Like, oh man, really?
Oh.
And then at that exact moment, I hear the doctor say, all right, pull the plug. And at that moment, I promise you, I sat up, and my first words were like, I'm thirsty. And the doctor was like, okay, all right, okay, maybe plug it back in. Maybe make the machine go beep, beep again. Plug it back in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know whose voice said that it's not like you have to go back?
Yeah, they're like, not time. It's like, yeah, not yet. I'm like, oh man.
You recognize the voice?
Just sounded like a not, you know what? Just sounded like a deep voice, like a deep, echoey voice, like, yeah, not yet.
Whoa.
You know? And I was like, oh man, I was actually just I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh man. And soon as I went back, the doc said, yeah, pull the plug. And I was like, whoop, nope, those are the wrong words. And first words were, I'm thirsty. And the doctor was like, okay, all right,
Did you
well,
ever talk to
you
your doctor about that moment?
know. I think it freaked him out. You know, he was the one that told me, yeah, you were gone, man. Like you were basically out of there. I was like,
So
you
he
know.
basically like corroborated what you had experienced and was like,
Yeah.
yeah, you did this was not looking good. It was pretty much over.
Oh yeah. Like, you know, when I tell you they told my mom, we're gonna try. Like they basically had to have my mom sign a waiver that said, hey, we're gonna try some stuff,
Yeah.
but Basically, he's going to be a guinea pig.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's really stressful. Having this experience, this like near-death experience that was so peaceful, does that make you feel less afraid of dying?
Honestly, and that's a weird, it's not a weird question, but it's kind of a complicated question. Like death itself, passing and going beyond, no, but the moments leading up to it, depending on how it happens. If it's like in your sleep or whatever, then yeah. But if it's like, you're freaking drowned to death, or then, like as long as it's in like a, but I think honestly, once you're past a certain threshold, you don't even feel pain anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's really scary, the idea of like the, yeah, this is really morbid, but we were, my husband and I and like a friend that was staying with us were keeping a list of the worst ways we could think of to die, and we were like, and like they were just like, we would debate like what's the worst, and like all the fear, like the being buried alive. For some reason, our friend insisted we have tsunami on this list. So just like all these horrible things that could happen, and yeah, like that, I don't know how you can't be afraid of those feelings of fear and pain.
But the actual, once you get past that, then, because like I said, it was relaxing, man. And I mean, so it was but when it's your, I mean, you literally know when it's your time to go. You know what I mean? Like I think you know when it's your time to go. Like, you'll just feel it like, all right, well, I can't hang on anymore. So, but those are my crazy stories.
Yeah, they were amazing. I love this episode. This has been so cool. Hansen, thank you for being on here, and tell people where they can find you and your comedy and plug anything else you would like to plug.
All right, so I have a web series I'm trying to bring back now. I have 2 seasons of it. It's called Damn Karen. It's loosely making fun of like, Karens, but like in a nice way, like the nice Karens and whatnot. I'm in South Florida, so I have, shows down here in Florida. I'm trying to get out of state more. I should be in DC in October,
Cool.
but just check out my web series, check out my TikTok, Hanson Sinclair, and my Instagram, same thing, Hanson Sinclair. And yeah, hit me up if you want to book me or, talk to me or whatever, or have me for another podcast. Anybody else out there, just hit me up. Let me know.
Thank you. Thanks so much for doing the pod.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best thing you could do is help spread the word about it by rating and reviewing it wherever you get your pods and just sharing it. You know, the old-fashioned way, like saying to somebody, "Wow, I just did the best thing with my commute." "Oh, what was it?" "It was listening to this podcast. It was so good. It was called Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories." "Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for telling me, Ted." Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Emily MC Winter and Haunted as Hell on Instagram. Here's a good way to remember it. It sounds like haunted a shell.